WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. Okay, there are a lot of cookbooks out there that are filled with artsy, overexposed photographs of these crafted dishes and the accompanying recipes that make it all sound so easy when it's not. My next guest's recipes are Instagram famous, you recall, #TheStew, and her approach to cooking has always been attainable, not just aspirational. In Allison Roman's new cookbook, Nothing Fancy, Unfussy Food for Having People Over, it's a cookbook that takes the stress out of throwing a last-minute dinner party, complete with a guide for a DIY martini bar, the power of a baked potato, and a whole chapter devoted to snacks. You had me at snacks.
Oh, same.
You know her from a New York Times column and her mouthwatering Instagram feed. So nice to see you again.
Oh, so happy to be here.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you so much.
The book has a sense of humor about it, for sure.
I hope so.
I like that there are these big, bold headlines. And the first one is, this is not a book about entertaining.
No.
You said you're allergic to the word entertaining.
Why? I am. I feel like it makes people feel stressed out just to have that word involved in anything they're doing because it involves a performance. It involves you doing something out of the ordinary. You have to be prepared. You have to fake it, maybe. You have to, I know, it's a lot of pressure. It's like a dance recital, right? You go dancing at a club or you go to a dance recital, and dance recitals are very stressful. So I think it's sort of just semantically a way to kind of loosen things up by saying, oh, I'm just having people over.
And you write in the book, if you're looking for someone to tell you how to fold napkins, I am not your girl.
No, this is not that book. I feel like most books, when they are labeled entertaining, it's very much like how to set a table, how to pick the florals, you know, how to create a guest list. And that is, you will not find any of that in this book. I really just wanted to create a collection of recipes that are easy to make for larger groups of people.
Well, you do offer advice, though.
That's
true. There
are
three helpful things.
Yes.
You say, ask for help, pick your battles, and never apologize.
Yes. I feel like life lessons, but also good for this book.
What's something you should ask for help with?
Asking for help just in the kitchen is a very hard thing for me to do personally because I want to do everything myself. Don't worry, I got it. But little tiny tasks like, oh, picking the leaves off an herb or whisking together yogurt and salt for a sauce or cutting lemons in half or, you know, something that anyone can do that you can easily delegate will make your life so much easier.
What is a battle to pick, for example?
A battle, you know, it's like, oh, I really, really want to make steak tonight. But now I had four people over and now it's ballooned to 10. Is that really the smartest dish to execute for 10 people? Probably not. I'm not going to kill myself trying to do that because I was married to that idea. I'm going to pivot. I'm going to do a standing roast instead or a pork shoulder or, you know, something that is more catered to, you know, being flexible and being like, you know, I think when I say to pick your battles, the main example is people are obsessed with having hot food on a table. And we have Thanksgiving coming up. And that's a huge question people ask about. And my whole thing is don't, unless it needs to be hot. Is it a soup? Is it a stew? Is it a gravy? Otherwise, doesn't need to be hot. I'm a huge fan of room temperature stuff.
And the third one was never apologize.
That one I also really struggle with. I think this was more like notes to self, really. I should really take my own advice. But the apology, you know, that's a very Julia Child inspired rule. I'm going to botch her quote, so I'm not even going to try. But that's sort of where I learned it, which is you invited people over. You roasted them a chicken. You made them a salad. You fed them. You poured wine. That's enough, you know, and to say, I think I'm always like, oh, well, the salad's too spicy, or I'm sorry, it didn't turn out how I wanted, or I thought it was going to be this, but it's that. And you don't have to apologize. You cooked, you did your best, and everyone's together, and we're going to eat it. It's going to be great.
My guest is Allison Roman. The name of her new cookbook is Nothing Fancy. So as I said, there's an entire section devoted to snacks. And this great, your big bold headline on this one is, do not confuse snacks with hors d'oeuvres or canapes.
Yeah.
What's the distinction for you?
Well, those two words to me are very silly, and they imply a fanciness, an uptightness, a high strungness. They make me feel like I'm at a wedding. And snacks are different. Snacks can be anything you want them to be. It can be a pork shoulder cut into tiny pieces, or it can be chips, or it can be, you know, vegetables. It can be dips. I think that canapes and hors d'oeuvres are the old school thinking of what it means to entertain. You have people coming over, oh, I need to have 14 little wrapped cocktail wieners and a puff pastry, or I need to create a tiny tart out of a something and fill it with mushrooms. It's like, you don't have to do that. You can just have little nibbles, little snacks.
Can you build a whole dinner party around a snack?
Oh, yes. I have, and I can, and I will again in the future.
So tell me a way that would work. Describe a dinner party around snacks.
Yeah, I feel like that is sort of what I resort to when it's large people or a large amount of people. I sort of think about having people over in a few different classifications of, okay, we're all going to fit at my table. I can fit 8 people at that table. If it's more than 8, maybe if it's 9, I'll pull up another chair. And that's when we sit down. We have, you know, a meal. If it's any more than 15, it's going to be a snack party. That means lots of little tiny things that don't take a ton of effort. Maybe it's a giant platter of vegetables with 3 different dips. Maybe it's tons of cheese. It's, you know, tiny spicy nuts or corn nuts or things like that, just for people to nibble on. And I think for that, the key is setting up expectations. Don't invite somebody over for dinner if you're just going to feed them snacks.
You have your friends call this one dip known as the dip.
I think they're making fun of me because of the stew and the cookies, but they actually still have started calling it the dip. So it's sort of a joke, but I think it's also because that, you know, when you're cooking at home, you don't name your dishes. Mm-hmm. So they're like, what's that? They're like, make the dip.
What's the dip?
So the dip is a sizzled chili and scallion dip, and you can use it you can make it using labneh, which is like a strained yogurt cheese, or you can use whole milk yogurt. You can also use sour cream, which is really kind of rich and delicious. But basically what it is, it's seasoned dairy, you know, mm-hmm. yogurt, labneh, sour cream. And you swirl in this olive oil mixture that has lots of crushed chili and cooked scallions and garlic. It is so crazy good. And it tastes almost like ranch dressing, I think.
Is it a dip for a piece of bread, or is it a dip for a veg?
Listen, if it exists, I can dip it. You know, like it can be a vegetable, it can be a piece of lettuce, it could be crackers. I've also used it as the base of roasted vegetables, sort of as more of a sauce. So it's extremely versatile. Someone told me they just ate it for dinner, like standing up, dipping whatever they could find into it. So
you have a recipe for fancy citrus olive. What makes them fancy?
Well, that's also sort of a joke, I guess, because I said nothing fancy, but because olives straight from the olive bar are delicious. I will eat them as is every time and be extremely happy. But kind of taking the extra 10 minutes to marinate them in fresh citrus juice and some olive oil and maybe some chili herbs, garlic, shallot, whatever you like aromatically, is going to kind of just take them to the next level. It's kind of like putting lipstick on or something. It's like the same thing, but it's like a little something, something.
And you have a recipe in here for a better garlic bread. I didn't know you can make garlic bread better.
I always felt like garlic bread recipes needed a little bit of help. And I feel like more in this recipe than the measurements, what I wanted to convey was what you should be looking for. And that is a crispy golden exterior, especially around the edges. And the center should still be like soft and supple, almost custardy, but not oily and never greasy. So in order to kind of, you know, get the perfect version of this, I spent a lot of time thinking about it and testing different versions, but ultimately came to the conclusion that it's about a mix of butter and olive oil. And what I do is I peel the garlic first and I simmer it in the olive oil just until it gets really soft and tender. It's not golden brown yet, but it kind of starts to caramelize, mm-hmm. smashing that into butter and then adding some anchovies to just kind of deepen the flavor, which is my one trick. I add anchovies to everything. But you smear that onto the bread and you cook it at a high heat so it gets crispy but still stays soft. It is so good.
My guest is Allison Roman. The name of her new cookbook is Nothing Fancy. Another bold headline in the cookbook: side dish is a misleading term. Why is it a misleading term?
Because I think that side implies that it has to accompany something. You say side dish, well, it's like, well, what's the main dish? And listen, I have had more dinners than I can count that are mostly just side dishes, where I don't feel like eating meat that day. I don't want to cook a piece of fish. I don't need a big thing of pasta. I just want you know, a bowl of chickpeas and some roasted carrots and maybe a salad and also, you know, a cauliflower gratin, and that's dinner. And I think that having that assortment of foods on the table can still be dinner, and they don't need to be side dishes. But think about, again, Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Most people are there for the sides. No one's like really looking forward to that turkey.
That's actually true.
Yeah.
Good
so
point.
Side dish, you know, it's really the main dish.
You have, as one of your side dishes, roasted radishes with green goddess's butter.
Yeah.
So why should we be roasting radishes? I think about them as crisp and cold and crunchy.
And they are. And we can have it all. I feel like you can eat them that way. But roasting them kind of takes them more into a root vegetable turnip category, where you just are reminded that, oh, yes, this is a root vegetable. Yeah. You can and should roast them, preferably hot and fast. And I love to keep the greens on, because once you roast them with the greens, they kind of crisp up like a kale chip. So what you end up having is like a kale chip type texture with a roasted turnip type texture, but it's just from a radish. And I'm a big fan of using the whole vegetable in most practices, but the radish is one of my favorite ways to exemplify that.
And let's talk about the baked potato. You revere a baked potato.
How much time do we have?
Honestly, you take it out of like sort of suburban boringness. Why is a baked potato a great thing to have when you're feeding your guests? And what can we do so it isn't just a big tater just sitting there?
I mean, listen, I'll eat a big tater. I'll do that too. But I grew up eating baked potatoes. It was a big thing in my household. My mom made them expertly, hot oven, rubbed with oil, so the outside gets really, really crispy, almost like a French fry, and the inside stays soft and fluffy and cloud-like. That, to me, I'm very hungry right now. But, you know, it wasn't just about a potato, and it didn't feel sad. It felt celebratory because they were so, so delicious. And, you know, kind of setting out the toppings bar, and I'm a big fan of anything that involves a toppings bar. Like, that's why I like soups and stews and things like that. But, you know, they're customizable. They're cheap. You can get fancy with it if you want. I suggest adding things like salmon roe or trout roe, caviar, if you're feeling extremely opulent. But also just a ton of sour cream, lots of butter, chives, salt, and pepper in a beautiful baked potato is one of life's greatest pleasures. And they're just easy to make for a crowd. You can stick 20 of them in an oven, and you can make them ahead. You can re-crisp them up or not. And, you know, say you're serving something more on the more pricey side, like a big hunk of meat, to offset that cost with something like baked potatoes, I think is a really great idea.
Another big headline. These days, a salad can be anything you want it to be.
Yeah.
True?
I mean, people are taking that term and really running with it. You go into any fast casual salad place and you're like, oh, is this a salad now? Okay, whatever, I guess. You know, I think that people are obsessed with the term salad because they think it immediately means healthy. And so they're calling a lot of stuff salad. So it was more just a nod to the fact that I've sort of classified three different types of salads within this chapter.
What are they?
Leafy salads.
Leafy.
And that is, as implied, made with leaves of something. Crunchy salads. As implied, that's, you know, mostly like a strong, sturdy, crunchy vegetable like radishes you would use, fennel, things like that have a lot of crunch, cabbage, and then kind of salads. And kind of salads are something that you would describe as, oh, it's kind of a salad. And that is just sort of any cold appetizer, maybe using fresh vegetables, lots of citrus, something fresh, but not necessarily like a cooked side. I wouldn't label it a side dish. It's just like a kind of a salad.
My guest is Allison Roman. The name of her new cookbook is Nothing Fancy. So you also don't think you need a lot of fancy stuff in your kitchen. You don't need a lot of fancy utensils. You describe yourself as a Luddite at one point.
Yes.
What are some basics, though, if you really are thinking about having people over on the regular?
Yeah. Some things that I would recommend for sure are things like sheet trays, baking sheets, rimmed baking sheet. They're called a million different things in recipes, but, you know, a sturdy baking sheet. And I would recommend owning at least two. If not, having three or four on hand, and they stack really nicely, they don't take up a ton of space, is a really smart way, because not only do they provide extra storage for things, but when things get dirty, you don't have to worry about washing them. You can roast two things at a time. It's a really nice way to kind of scale up, and you can roast a lot more on one sheet tray than you can typically in a skillet. To that end, I would also say you should own at least one large skillet. And by large, I mean 12 to 14 inches. I have one stainless steel and one cast iron in both those sizes. And you can roast a whole chicken in either. And you can also roast a rib roast in either. They will come in handy so, so often.
In terms of, you've mentioned olive oil, salt, pepper. Outside of those three, what are the next two or three that are you really need to have around?
Lemons.
Lemons?
A million lemons, especially if you're going to cook from this book. You will be lost without lemons. And then from there, I feel like, you know, it's really got to depend on your own flavor profile. I would say a desert island for me, I would pick chili flakes or crushed red peppers in some way, because I love things spicy, even if it's just to finish a dish or to cook with it, to bloom it in some oil before you sear a short rib. Like, I love, even when things have just like a hint of spiciness.
And I want to ask you about the dedication of the book. You dedicate this book to Grandma Prue, who taught me about the importance of crudité, white wine on ice, and the great orange red nail.
Yes, which I'm currently rocking, actually.
Your fingernails, they're often in the pictures.
Yes.
Why? Just curious.
Well, I mean, not all of it is planned. I think for the book, I've cooked all the pictures in the book is food that I've made.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when I'm plating a food or scooping something and the photographers are around, we'll shoot it. So it's important to me that everything feel very natural and look very real, because it's really happening and it really is natural.
And I love people are obsessed with your nails in the picture. That's as much as the food.
Well, now it's sort of become like a thing.
A signature.
Yeah, but I feel naked without it. And that was even before my hands were being photographed. I feel like as soon as I got out of working in restaurants, I was like, well, I'm going to start painting my nails, because you don't have painted nails in a restaurant when you're working in a professional kitchen. But as soon as I got out of that, that was the thing that I started doing for myself, and I just can't stop.
And I love the white wine on ice, because what it's saying is don't be fussy.
Don't
be pretentious, right?
Yeah, you know, I feel like wine on ice, unless it's an exquisite bottle that you should really pay attention to and cherish and that's really your thing, people always, I think it was thought of as trashy or like lowbrow, and I think of it as just delicious and refreshing, especially if your wine's not cold enough.
So many of your recipes go viral. Is there one in this book you think will be the next stew or the next shortbread cookie?
I feel like there's probably a betting pool somewhere that I don't know about, because I have no idea. I feel like anytime I try to guess, I'm wrong. And I would just be feeling lucky and happy if this book was a success as a whole. And, you know, I can't put any of my recipes against one another. I hope they all succeed.
Oh, we'll see. Well, one will.
I hope so. I don't know. I assume that every time it happens that it's the last time. Because that's not something I'm trying to achieve, but it's really nice when it does. And so, I don't know.
It's going to happen.
Maybe.
The name of the book is Nothing Fancy. It is by Allison Roman. Allison, congratulations and thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm going to make fancy olives.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.